On and off, I have kept a journal for much of my adult life. When I say on and off, I mean just that. There have been times when I've written daily in my journal and felt it vital for my well-being to do so. And other times when the journal's only work has been acquiring dust as it rests in a drawer unopened and unexplored. Many of us would have kept a diary at some stage. My university one coincided with the first time in my life when I was cooking for myself and was full of detail about what I ate. I haven't kept the book. The recipes weren't that enticing. I have a friend who can tell me, after a little research, exactly what he was doing on the 23rd of February 1987, or the 14th of June 1998, for that matter. His diary, or diaries, are accurate daily records of events, where he went, who he was with, what the weather was like, what was taking place in the wider world. As such, should I ever read them, they would be a fascinating insight into his life and times. For me at least, while a journal has many of the same qualities as a diary, it has a different focus and feel. A journal has a sense of dialogue. I'm not just recording events of the day, I'm in conversation with them. As I write, I'm exploring my thoughts, feelings, and reactions. It's as if the written page and the pen were asking me, what was going on for you there? Why did that moment in particular feel significant? I'm not just talking on the page, I'm also listening. As I write, the scattered fragments of the day begin to be gathered together. And then, not always but often enough, a fresh insight emerges. Or my writing takes me on from where I started to connect with some deeper current within my being or God's being. I'm talking with myself. And then I'm talking with God. Or to give the fuller picture, I am also listening to myself and also listening to God. That's why I've begun to keep a journal again. I want to listen to what is stirring in my own spirit and to what God might be stirring in me. From experience, I know that if I'm not to drift, then I need to listen. And a journal is one way that works for me to do so. Last week, I introduced you to Etty Hillerson through the words of her diaries, which for me have the qualities of a spiritual journal. Her search for inner integrity and outward fruitfulness led her unexpectedly to awareness of God's indwelling, the source, as she came to understand it, of her own identity. From the beginning, the words she wrote on the faint blue lines of her notebooks had a strong sense of dialogue. Sentence by sentence, writing helped her recognise and understand her own hopes, fears and desires. She learned about herself as she stayed in conversation with her thoughts and feelings. Sometimes, she wrote, I long for a convent cell, with the sublime wisdom of centuries set out on bookshelves all along the wall, and a view across the cornfields. There must be cornfields, and they must wave in the breeze. Then I might perhaps find peace and clarity, but that would be no great feat. It is right here, in this very place, in the here and now that I must find them. You can hear her wrestling with her experience as she writes on the page, not just processing what has taken place in her life, but also finding a response to it. Here, she picks up from Matthew 6:34 and sees how it corresponds with what's going on in her experience. Take, therefore, no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We have to fight them daily, like fleas, those many small worries about the morrow, for they sap our energies. We make mental provision for the days to come, and everything turns out differently, quite differently. Sufficient unto the day. The things that have to be done must be done. And for the rest, we must not allow ourselves to become infested with thousands of petty fears and worries, so many motions of no confidence in God. Not only is Etty corresponding with herself, as time goes on, her writing increasingly takes the form of an intimate conversation with God. Here she takes in the news of the death of her dear friend and mentor, Julius Speer. I now realise, God, how much you have given me, so much that was beautiful, and so much that was hard to bear. Yet whenever I showed myself ready to bear it, the hard was directly transformed into the beautiful. And the beautiful was sometimes much harder to bear, so overpowering did it seem. To think that one small human heart can experience so much, O God, so much suffering and so much love. I shall follow the tried and tested old method, talking to myself now on these faint blue lines, and talking to you, God. Is that all right? With the passing of people, I feel a growing need to speak to you alone. As the oppression of the Nazi occupation deepened, Etty used her journal to help discern how best to respond. She wrote, "There are, it is true, some who even at this late stage are putting their vacuum cleaners and silver forks and spoons into safe keeping, instead of guarding you, dear God. And there are those who want to put their bodies in safe keeping, but who are nothing more now than a shelter for 1,000 fears and bitter feelings. And they say, I shan't let them get me into their clutches. But they forget that no one is in their clutches who is in your arms. I'm beginning to feel a little more peaceful, God, thanks to this conversation with you. You are sure to go through lean times with me now and then, when my faith weakens a little. But believe me, I shall always labour for you and remain faithful to you, and I shall never drive you from my presence." Reading Etty's words, it is dialogue, not monologue. Writing opens her awareness to God within, from whom her own sense of path emerges. Writing now for a camp where Jews have been gathered prior to deportation by train to the east, Etty gathers her thoughts and feelings into God. You have made me so rich, O God. Please let me share out your beauty with open hands. My life has become an uninterrupted dialogue with you, O God. One great dialogue. Sometimes when I stand in some corner of the camp, my feet planted on your earth, my eyes raised towards your heaven. Tears sometimes run down my face, tears of deep emotion and gratitude. At night too, when I lie in my bed and rest in you, O God, tears of gratitude run down my face. And that is my prayer. I've been terribly tired for several days, but that too will pass. Things come and go in a deeper rhythm, and people must be taught to listen. It is the most important thing we have to learn in this life. I'm not challenging you, O God. My life is becoming one great dialogue with you. I may never become the great artist I would really like to be, but I am already secure in you, God. Sometimes I try my hand at turning out small profundities and uncertain short stories, but I always end up with just one single word, God. And that says everything. And there is no need for anything more. And all my creative powers are translated into inner dialogues with you. The beat of my heart has grown deeper, more active, and yet more peaceful. And it is as if all the time I was storing up inner riches. Listening, entering into dialogue, becoming aware of God's transforming presence, changing the very beat of the heart through the scriptures of experience, words on the page, becoming a meeting place with God, a shelter to receive deepest fears, hopes, and desires. So how to begin or begin again a journal? You'll find some practical suggestions in the prayer and reflection exercises for this week. Many of us are more used to typing on a keyboard than writing with a pen or pencil. That's okay. But let what you write be for yourself and for God, rather than any other human consumption. Twitter and Facebook posts have a place, but not here. Or go longhand, buy a notebook, take out your pen or pencil. If you're wary of your own capacity to keep to commitments, start with agreeing with yourself to keep your journal for a single week. You'll write about what's taking place in your life, of course, but look to build in that deeper level of dialogue. Notice what you notice, even if you're not sure what its significance might be. Perhaps each day will hold just one thing to give your attention to, something you've heard someone say, a particular incident that affected you in some way, something you saw. Stay with this as the words go down on the page. Ponder your thoughts, feelings, and responses about what you have noticed. Talk with God about what you have experienced. Listen to what comes up in you as you do so. It may all feel scrappy, devoid of any life-changing insight, but persist and your receptivity will begin to grow. If you're not over fond of the written word, what about drawing what comes up in your mind? Maybe your journal becomes a scrapbook. Do you remember those images and words that we responded to, gathered in one place, beginning to become more by being put together? As I describe an approach to keeping a journal, I'm aware it begins to sound like the monastic practice of Lectio Divina, dwelling with scripture, hearing and noticing, pondering, dialoguing with God, resting open to God's work of transformation through this word. The word not only of scripture, but also of experience. Benedict would agree with Etty Hillesum about the importance of listening. Listen is the first word of the rule he formed for his community of monks. And then, his words continue, incline the ear of your heart. What can be sweeter to us dear ones than this voice of the Lord inviting us? Behold, in his loving kindness, the Lord shows us the way of life. I have taken out my journal again. I know I need to pay attention. I know I'm more responsive to God when I do so. In monologue, we never really escape ourselves, but dialogue leads us back to where God invites and life lies.